Hi, I'm Christy Potter. I'm a journalist, I'm an author, and I am Going Gray. This show is about all the interesting, creative, and inspiring people who are out there every day making the world a better place. Before we get to today's guest, just a quick reminder that my website is still under renovation, so I will keep you posted on that. And of course, I have to give a shout out to Audible.com, the audiobook folks. If you have a commute, if you're going on vacation, or if you're just looking for a good alternative to music while you're working out, check out Audible.com. They have so many books to choose from, classics, bestsellers, and here's what they're doing for you. If you go to audible.com/goinggray, you can get a free month's membership plus a free book download. So you really have nothing to lose by trying them out. So again, that's audible, audible.com/goinggray, and check them out. Now, let's get to our ever so patient guest for today. We are joined by Nancy Jarvis. Nancy is a mystery writer whose books have been called smart and funny and true to life. They also have a rather interesting angle. I don't want to give anything away, so I will let her tell you more. Nancy, thanks for joining us.
I'm glad to be here, Christy. And I may have to check out Audible. That sounds like a great idea.
Yeah, they're really very cool. It's everything. I mean, current stuff, old stuff, whatever you need. And I, when I'm on the road all the time, they're really... It really keeps the trips a little bit more interesting. So, so check them out. Now, before we get to talking about your writing, tell us a little bit about your work history. I find it fascinating, some of the things that you've done.
Well, I've had quite a checkered past. I hate to admit it, I'm old enough to have done a number of things, but I started out working for the Mercury News in San Jose right out of college. I worked in their advertising department and had to work on Saturdays. I was kind of the only person there. I actually was received four fax machines, a telex from Richard Nixon, who was running for re-election and had come to San Jose in order to campaign. There was a rather nasty demonstration on the parade route, and it was covered, of course, by the San Jose Mercury News. The president was not happy about that, and he sent a personal directive to Tony Ritter, who owned the newspaper at the time, telling him to fire the reporter who had written the report, or at least make him retract it and rewrite it so that it sounded like everything was very friendly and happy. I turned it in to Tony Ritter. I didn't make a copy. I still regret that because I'm a political nut and would have loved to have had it.
Wow.
When I moved to Santa Cruz, I worked in a library for a while. Way back then, I wanted to drive the bookmobile, but I was told that a woman couldn't drive a stick shift, never mind that I'd grown up and learned how to drive one of them. Times were different then. And then after working there, I went to work for Shakespeare Santa Cruz, which was one of the most fun and entertaining things to do. I was their business manager, so definitely the administrative part. But my two sons, one is still an actor, not a day job, and the other one a musician, not his day job either. They got their feet wet at Shakespeare Santa Cruz and couldn't get the performing bug out of what they did. And I was really inspired by a woman there named Audrey Stanley. She was probably in her late 70s at the time, an English professor from England. She was very well connected with the Royal Shakespeare Company. And so we had Patrick Stewart and a number of other people come over from the RSC to perform at lowly little Shakespeare Santa Cruz when it was getting going. But Audrey was Puck one year, and Shakespeare Santa Cruz did some fun alternative productions. She was to fly in on a guy wire, and we were all very concerned considering her age. And I remember Audrey saying, "One must do something about every 5 years that gets you completely out of your comfort level. Try something new. It'll keep you young." And I thought that was a really good philosophy. Having left Shakespeare Santa Cruz to become a realtor for 25 years in between starting to write.
Wow. Okay, actually, that leads us into what I was going to ask you. You're an author, and you've also been a real estate agent. So your books are murder mysteries that feature real estate agents. So tell us how all that came together.
That's right. You all remember 2008 and what happened to the real estate market at the time. My husband and I had our own little company at that point, and frankly, being a realtor was pretty easy. It was a lot of repeat and referral business. But having been a realtor for a good 20 years at that point, I knew how vicious things were going to become and decided I just wanted to take a time out. I expected that the market was going to recover in about a year. It always seemed to in California. And so I decided that I'd just not do anything. I'd just pretend I was retired, even though I wasn't quite old enough for that. I got really bored and thought, well, I know, I think I'll write a mystery. And I think maybe I'll make the protagonist a realtor because I understand that world really well. I'll set it in Santa Cruz because I'm a visual writer. I need to see what I'm writing about. And that seemed like a good idea. I'd also just finished reading everything that Tony Hillerman wrote and realized that his characters, Leaphorn and Chi, even though they were police officers on the Navajo, the big reservation that takes up so much of the Southwest, they didn't necessarily have to get involved in shootouts and, you know, all the violence that you see on TV. Didn't realize what a cozy mystery was, the idea of a female of a certain age becoming an amateur sleuth, and just kind of decided that Santa Cruz would be my big reservation and real estate would be the Navajo culture. Being a realtor, anyone who's been in the business for more than 2 or 3 years starts saying, oh, I could write a book. The most amazing things happen that realtors are privy to. Also, clients share the most intimate details of their lives with you. Still don't know why they do that. And with a degree in behavioral science, I was very happy to, you know, be a quasi-counselor, I think, with my clients.
Right.
But for a time, I was the world's only licensed real estate agent writing mysteries with a realtor protagonist. How's that for doing something really special?
That's very cool. Yeah.
And it was just fun. I never intended to do anything with the books. I wrote The Death Contingency. That was the first one in the series. I had a beginning and an end when I started writing and absolutely no idea how to connect them. I think it shows in the book. The book starts slowly, and by the ending, I think it's pretty darn good, but I learned a lot about writing in doing that book. I put it on a shelf when I finished and started on Backyard Bones. That was the one that I really wanted to write. It's a classic mystery with lots of red herrings and lots of changes, alibis to be broken, you know, that sort of thing. And I was working on that when a friend named Charlotte Bridges came to visit. Charlotte was someone who got up every day and wrote. She always wanted to be a writer. It's not how she earned her living. She never finished anything that she wrote because she paid attention to too many people who told her it could be better, it should be different, you should take it in a different direction. So she just never finished. And she caught me writing Backyard Bones and was really upset that I was even attempting to do this without a mentor and a critique circle and having taken endless classes in writing and on and on and on. And she told me that I needed to suffer for my art. I told her I was having a lot of fun. If it wasn't fun, I wasn't going to be doing this. We got a call from Charlotte about 3 months later. She'd been diagnosed with a terminal brain cancer, the same kind that Ted Kennedy died from. And she said that her one great regret in life was that she had never finished anything and she had never seen her name in print. My husband and I threw together the world's smallest, fastest printing company and printed 100 copies of The Death Contingency because it was finished and dedicated it to Charlotte. We got a copy to her 2 weeks before she died so she could see her name in print.
Oh.
And I assumed that 99 of those books was going to sit. You know, we printed 100 of them. That's a very low-budget operation here.
Sure.
But I thought they'd sit in the garage in perpetuity unless I foisted some of them off on family and friends for Christmas presents. But years before, the owner of Bookshop Santa Cruz had been a Cub Scout in my den. And so I approached him and said, you've got to take a few of these books and put them in your bookstore just to help me get rid of them. Well, they sold. So I brought him more, and they sold. And pretty soon all 99 were gone, and we ordered more, and we printed Backyard Bones. And then Amazon came along and took off, and all of a sudden it was easy to distribute books. And Kindle came along, and wow, never looked back.
Wow. That's so you were just, I mean, right place, right time, and doing the right thing. It just took off.
Yeah, it was, and it's just such great fun that I've actually given up my real estate license middle of last year. And I'm doing this now. I really am old enough now to be retired. So I'm writing, and I have never had so much fun in my life, even though I've enjoyed many other jobs.
Yeah, and you don't need to suffer for your art.
No, no, don't suffer.
Don't suffer. I think that what you're doing is great. And actually, you have quite an impressive list of books out there on Good. I was looking at them on Goodreads a little while ago, and I noticed that the Regan McHenry Real Estate Mysteries seem to be a real reader favorite on Goodreads. Tell us about that series.
Well, there are five books so far. I just actually came up with an idea for a sixth. I was thinking I wanted to do something a little different, but I probably will write a sixth before I stop. I have taken a break before to write Mags and the AARP Gang. I'll tell you about that at some point in future.
Okay,
but
sure.
But you know, Regan started out as me. I mean, that was the way I started writing. Only she was younger, thinner, and probably more successful than I was. But she very quickly couldn't be me. The first time Regan found a body, my husband found me in my office curled into a ball crying and shaking. I don't deal well with that sort of thing. So the characters that started out as Nancy and Craig, my husband being Craig, became Regan and Tom.
Mm-hmm.
In the books, all of the characters start out, or almost all of them start out, as someone that I know. It helps me to visualize the person as I start writing, but I've learned that almost immediately the names change. It allows the characters to do things that the real person they're modeled on would never dream of doing, and to just kind of take off in different directions. That's one of the things I find most entertaining in writing. The only one whose name hasn't changed is Dave. You can't be a realtor and go to the police station and say, tell me about the latest murder that you're working on, or about that body that washed up in a toilet bowl in Santa Cruz, or, you know, it just doesn't work. They'd laugh at you and throw you out. So
right.
Regan has a buddy who is a quasi-retired police officer. He lost an eye in a shootout before the series starts, but he has, with some fast talking, made himself the official Santa Cruz Police Department ombudsman. He's the guy that the media interviews. He has to deal with people who have cats in trees, and you know, and he doesn't like doing that sort of thing. He's really smart, and he enjoyed police work, but he can't do it anymore with one eye. He is based on a real friend who had a similar history in San Jose, but was forced to retire from the police department after he lost his eye in a shootout. Oh, can I digress and tell you a really exciting and wonderful story about this? It's
Please.
Amazing how, you know, they always say art imitates life, but my books are not art, and life is more interesting in many ways than books. The fourth book in the series, called The Widow's Walk League, had Santa Cruz husbands dropping like flies, and the commonality that they had was that all of their wives belonged to a walking group called the Widow's Walk League. And they started coming to Regan as their husbands died, asking her to list their houses. They needed to downsize or move or do whatever. But one of the murders in the book took place at a real event in Santa Cruz called Woody's on the Wharf. Every year, about 200 antique Woody cars come to the Santa Cruz Municipal Wharf, and there's quite a show. I wanted one of those cars to go off into the ocean and for the person who was the owner of it to be killed in this incident. That was the way it was to work in the book. But I wasn't sure if the plan that I had for the murder really was going to be something feasible. So I contacted the president of our local Woody's Club. We met over coffee, and he got really into how to kill someone in this way, gave me all sorts of great details. So when the book came out, it happened just the week before Woody's on the Wharf. I took a book down to him to say thank you and wanted to go see who was parked in the spot that the president of the club had told me was the perfect place for this murder.
Uh-huh.
So my husband and I walked over and started talking to him. It turned out that he was a retired San Jose police officer who had been with the real Dave the night that he lost his eye in a shootout.
Wow.
Now, what are the chances of that? I mean, it's just...
Seriously, wow. You're right. The truth is stranger than fiction here. Wow.
So, yeah, it's sorry to digress, but I love that story. It just blew us away.
That's a great story. You could digress any time.
Okay. That's the best digression. But anyway, Dave has retained his name, and even though he has been modified, I still see my friend Dave when I write, although he insists that, you know, that cops never say the Vic and things like that, that I've watched too much TV. But he definitely is still my Dave.
And what does he think of the books overall?
I don't think he likes them. I don't think he likes
really?
The way he's portrayed, let's put it that way.
That's very funny.
I think it troubles him a little bit. But so now there are 5 books in the series. I just came out with one called The Murder House. And the premise for that is that every community has a house that school children kind of walk around and look at, and everybody talks about it because there are rumors that it might be haunted. And I thought that was a really fun premise for another Regan McHenry real estate mystery.
And that just came out.
That came out in January of this year, yeah.
So that's brand new. Good. I want to get back to something, touch on something that you were talking along the lines of what you were talking about before. I want to talk about mystery writing. It's a genre that, I have to be honest, I've never attempted because it just seems hard to me. But then again, I'm the kind who never sees what's coming, you know, ever. So what appeals to you about mystery writing?
I think I'm a logical person. I love to do Sudoku and ciphers and, you know, solve any sort of puzzles. I also grew up reading Agatha Christie at my grandmother's house, so I was well grounded in that sort of book. I love mysteries because of the logic, and it is like solving a giant puzzle. And it's also really entertaining to try and drop hints and clues, because I do think that anybody who's paying attention should be able to solve a mystery before they get to the end. It shouldn't be a sudden reveal with new information. But the idea of having a logical progression through the book, even though there are red herrings and there are misdirects in there, dropping the hints and trying to do that without giving things away, it's just really entertaining for me to write. In fact, I think I have a hard time writing something that isn't a mystery at some level. It's just such a fun way to proceed. I have discovered, though, I do need a timeline with a mystery. That's critical. I have to know who knew what when. But as to an outline or something like that, sometimes I use them, sometimes I don't very much. I do a psychological profile of the characters, even minor characters, before I start writing, but especially the major players and the murderers or murderer, because I need to understand where they're coming from and why they are the way they are, why they think it's appropriate to kill someone.
Right. That is interesting that you said that, because I have done that before in my own writings. I do a character sketch, and I will put things in the character sketch that maybe don't even come into the book at all, but it helps me to know.
Yeah, I need to know my character.
Yeah, it really does, and I'm so glad that you said that, because I was starting to feel like I was the only one who did that anymore.
No.
It really helps.
Now, I bet you've had your characters talk to you and tell you things that you haven't written down about them in the course of writing. Yeah, that's really fun, too. And I know in Buying Murder, which was the third one, it just turned out that someone needed to contact a military person who was stationed in Germany. And Dave, that wound up being something that Dave could do. And as I was writing, Dave said, yeah, I made the phone call. I bet you didn't know I spoke a little German. And I had leaned back and, you know, said out loud, Dave, I had no idea that you spoke German. But it's just fun the way they tell you little things about themselves, little reveals.
And they do, yeah.
In Backyard Bones, I thought I had a number of suspects and a number of alibis to be broken. There were two characters that I decided one of them was the murderer. And it didn't matter at the start. I could start writing and decide about halfway through the book which of them had done it, because the book just worked that way. When I got to that point, I realized neither of them had done it. It was a completely different character. And I thought, well, that's okay. I can go back and put some clues in the appropriate places. When I went back to do that, the clues were there. I realized that even though I was writing, the murderer was having me on as much as he was having Reagan on. It was just a really interesting experience.
That's awesome. That's what makes writing so much fun.
Yes, it is.
You know, I've had try to get characters to do things that they don't want to do, they're not ready to do, whatever, and it doesn't work. I can't explain that to anybody who doesn't write, but it's what keeps it interesting and to use your word, fun.
Yes.
Which of your books, by the way, I want to back up and say about Backyard Bones, I was reading the description of Backyard Bones, and the first thing I thought was, this is just pure Agatha Christie. This just sounds, you know, with the way, with like you said, the red herrings and the hints and everything else. And so it doesn't surprise me that she was an early influence, because I felt that classic mystery set up just in what I was reading about Backyard Bones. So that's a big compliment to you.
Thank you.
But I was going to ask you, which of your books do you think was the most challenging to write, and why do you think that is?
Oh, boy. Probably The Murder House, the most recent one, was the most challenging, just because there was a lot going on in my personal life. And it took me a very long time to write it, because I had to keep stopping to do real things. Typically, when I write, the books take about as long as the time lapse in the books. But it took me the better part of a year to finish that one, and I wasn't even sure that it was coherent until I started rereading it and, you know, giving it to a couple of beta readers and ultimately to the editor. And I guess it is. It seems to be. People seem to, even though it's not had much feedback yet because it's newly out, people do seem to like it and do seem to think that it works.
Well, that's good news then. What are you working on now? Can you give us?
I may be attempting to write two books at once. After the Widow's Walk League, I took a break and wrote a one-off called Mags and the AARP Gang. Typically, I write in third person, but Mags is first person. And I was literally finishing up the Widow's Walk League when this 83-year-old woman figuratively tapped me on the shoulder and said, hey, you know, put that aside for a while. I've got a story to tell and I want you to write it. And I argued with her and said, I'm not going to be trying to write two things at once. You be quiet and let me finish this. And she said, I'm 83. I don't know how much time I have left. Finish quickly so we can get going. It was a really fun book to write, because I just sat there and she told me what happened and she told me her story. I did miss doing the mysteries. And by the end of Mags, I was struggling because I was trying to slip into third person. It was very hard for me to stay in first person. And I realized that the structure is still a mystery, you know, to be solved in a way. But I did write The Murder House then and had planned to take a completely new direction. I don't know if any of your listeners or you have heard of the Harvey girls.
Of course.
Okay,
sure.
You have. Well, I thought it would be really fun to write about one of the early Harvey girls. I had the start of a book in mind for a character who was needing to leave Boston in a hurry, and that this kind of work that she could go to, I think it's pronounced Rattan or Rattan, New Mexico, is one of the early Harvey girls. So I thought that would be fun. I did some research and I came up with the name and started writing that, and thought, well, I'll take another break from mysteries and do something completely different. This will be a, you know, kind of a Western and have trains. What fun.
Wow.
But
that's really, I'm really impressed with that. It's not easy to change genres like that. I mean, not the genres and voice and everything.
Well, the only thing was the other evening, my husband and I were in bed and we heard rifle shots in the middle of the night. And they were clearly moving. We live on acreage and there's a forest and, you know, all kinds of things around us. And they were moving through the forest. And you occasionally hear gunshots. There were pig hunters at one point because there were feral pigs around and doing some damage. But it was a very different time and a very different situation when they were hunting. And occasionally you'll hear people probably target practicing, but that's always during the day. So being awakened with gunshots in the middle of the night was a little unnerving. And the way my mind works, that was the opening chapter for a new mystery. So I may be trying to write simultaneously the sixth book in the Regan McHenry series and also Essie, the first in what I imagine would be a series of Harvey Girl stories.
Wow.
Who knows?
You got a lot going on. Good for you. It's a good thing you're retired. Holy smokes.
Yes.
Wow. Okay. Well, we're just about out of time, but before we go, tell us where we can find out more about you and also get your books.
The easiest thing to do is to go to Amazon and type in my name, all three names, Nancy Lynn, L-Y-N-N, Jarvis, J-A-R-V-I-S. That'll bring up my author page,
okay.
And you can look at the different books from there.
Okay, good. Okay, great. Well, I really appreciate you being here with us, and it's been great to talk to you. Very, very inspiring. I can't wait to get my hands on some of your books and share them with some of the realtors in my life who I'm sure will get an especially big kick out of them.
It's very interesting. I thought that it would be people in Santa Cruz and realtors who read the books. It turns out their clients read the books and give them to their realtors. Because they think they're really cool. And there is a lot of insider information about real estate in them, which I think people in general enjoy reading. But I have received many emails from realtors all over the country saying, now, how did you know so-and-so who works in my office because you described her perfectly?
Wow, what a compliment. That's great. Wow. Okay. Well, I appreciate you taking the time to talk with us. And everyone, again, go to Amazon.com and look for Nancy Lynn Jarvis. There's a whole bunch of books on there, everybody from Mags to Regan McHenry. So everybody, please go and take a look and support this great realtor turned mystery writer. Nancy, thank you so much for joining
us. Thank you for having me, Christy. I've enjoyed it.
Great. Thanks a lot. Okay, that's it for me as well. I'll be back here again next week with another fabulous guest. And in the meantime, check out my debut novel, Oh Brother, on Amazon or Barnes & Noble, earlier episodes of Going Gray on iTunes, and of course, you can always find me at ChristyTheWriter.com.